Voice of Indonesia。
Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Well, so how do you feel right now? I believe that you are still fine, and also you still, you know, I believe that you are still enthusiastic in doing your activities. Well, when you are working, maybe or learning, or maybe I can say studying is, or maybe you're working in one place into another place. Maybe you are on the way.I hope that you can be your best. You are able to arrive at your destination safely. Well, during Ramadan, yeah, the holy months of Ramadan, we have also, you know, some special program, special segment that this is also special for you listeners, and it is also still related to the atmosphere of Ramadan. That's why I would like to share you.Here, the interview about Ramadan Talk, hosted by Steve with Aya Nita from RI Samarinda.
Of his voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world listener, you're listening again to this special Ramadan program from the Voice of Indonesia. Right now we are going to talk about how Ramadan is in Samarinda, and we are connected with the presenter of RRI Samarinda. We have Mita with us. Hello, Mita.
Hi, Steve. How is life?
It's fine. And how is Ramadan so far?
Well, actually, it's already the 6th of fasting and Ramadan, and I think the weather in Samarinda is also helpful because it's not too hot and it's mostly cloudy and rainy, so it helps people, especially in Muslim in here, for fasting. So it's already just so Ramadan in Samarinda nowadays.
So it appears that the weather is also supporting you people in fasting, which is nice. It is very nice compared to Jakarta. It's kind of hot nowadays. I believe my friends find it quite hard to keep on fasting, but I wish them the best. And I would like to know, in Samarinda, is there any special culture that appears only during Ramadan?
Well, in Samarinda, I think there are many tribes, especially ethnic groups in Samarinda, lives here. So it makes the Ramadan here. The atmosphere feels like the miniature version of Indonesia, because so many tribes in here live in Samarinda, such as Javanese, Bugis, Banjaris, and also it influences the food and also the culture. So for the traditional food in here, there are so many traditional food for Iftar. So many people searching and looking for the traditional food in here for Iftar, I think.
Okay, and the traditional food, can you tell us what are they?
Okay, the traditional food in here, we have the wadai talam. Its name is wadai talam. It's such as the soft cake. So it's a traditional cake from the Banjaris and also the Kutainese. So it's have a sweet taste, and there is a legendary wadai talam in Samarinda. It calls the wadai talam Ana. So many people line up to buy this cake because in Ramadan especially, there are so many people wants to wadai talam to Iftar. So sometimes if you come to line up this to buy this cake, It's already sold out in the 5 p.m. So if I cross to the street to buy this Wadai Talam Ana, there are so many people, so I choose not to buy the Wadai Talam Ana because it's legendary place in Samarinda. I think there are so many people to buy the Wadai Talam, so I prefer to choose the gorengan for my iftar recipe.
Okay, so gorengan instead of the Wadai Talam. And I googled right now the Wadai Talam. It looks so soft, right? It looks appetizing. I believe that if people come into Samarinda, they have to try this Wadai Talam. But Wadai Talam is not only available during Ramadan, right?
Yes, but for Ramadan it's already special because it's only appear in Ramadan, especially for Wadai Talam Ana. They don't sell the Wadai Talam in another month. It just appear on Ramadan because it's so special.
Wow. So make sure that everybody, if you want to go to Samarinda, visit it in the special time, especially the time of Ramadan. So besides the Wadai Talam, it is quite sweet, right? I would like to know the other traditional foods that you have in Samarinda.
Besides the Wadai Talam, I think there are also bingka.
Oh, okay.
You heard the bingka before?
I heard it, yeah.
Yeah, it's quite favorite. It's quite popular among the peoples in here. The bingka and also the pisang gapit. It's called the pisang gapit. It's a caramelized banana. And we grill the banana with the caramelized syrup. And it's quite popular as the iftar food for people.
Wow, a lot of sweets coming from Samarinda. Despite that, I mean, you also mentioned about the mixture of culture from so many places across Indonesia, so many ethnicities living in the same city of Samarinda. But apparently, the food you guys still have these traditional foods that is still popular, that people still like it so much. It is good news to hear too. And now, besides the food, I would like to know the other traditions. Like in Indonesia, we have something called ngabuburit, which is waiting for the time to break the fast. And besides hunting for the food, what are the people doing? Is there any special other traditions?
Well, I think the ngabuburit tradition is in Samarinda is quite similar to the other Indonesian because people spend their time to looking for iftar's menu, and also some people also prefer to relax while waiting for iftar. And we have the new hangout spot in here in Samarinda. It's located on the Mahakams Riverbank. It's called the Samarinda Terrace. So if you have the chance to visit the Samarinda, you have to visit the Samarinda Terrace because it's a new hangout spot. And especially there are a pasut etam boat on the Mahakams River banks. So while cruising along the Mahakams River, you also can enjoy the sunset while you can break your fast also on board. So it has become one of the main Ramadan tourist attraction in Samarinda still.
Wow. Apparently, this is very, very interesting. We are talking about the Ramadan in Samarinda, but I believe it's more than Ramadan. I mean, it's more about how interesting it is to come to Samarinda to enjoy the food and, just like you said, to enjoy the time until the sunset. And after that, after breaking the fast, and we know there's the special prayer, the Tarawih. And after that, do the children play something? I mean, in Jakarta, we have this something called sarung war. The sarung that we wore, that the people used to play.
Yeah. The old and they're already children know. Our childhood also know about the sarung war.
Yeah, so the sarung, for listeners out there, so we wear sarung that's like to cover our legs when the men are going to pray, and then after that, after the prayer, they will use it as a, like a whip to try to hit each other in a fun way without trying to hurt each other. It's quite fun. And besides the sarung war, is there any other special thing that is still apparent now in Samarinda?
Well, I think I lost the one tradition in here because since I already 30 years lived in Samarinda, I love the, how to call it, Bagarakan Sahur. It's called the Bagarakan. It's a tradition. It's a waking up tradition to wake up the people to Sahur in the midnight. And I think I lost it because nowadays since 2, maybe 3 years, I cannot find it on my place because maybe the children prefer to the newest technologies. They prefer to stay at their home despite of walking around the walking around the house to waking up the people, and I cannot find the Bagarakan tradition nowadays. But some place, some office make the race for the Bagarakan Sahur every Ramadan, Steve, in here.
Wow, a race for Bagarakan Sahur.
It's a traditional that already gone nowadays, I think.
Okay, and we wish that someday maybe the Bagarakan Sahur will be back to make sure that Ramadan, of course it is about doing what the religion is asking you, but also if there is tradition and you people want to make it more lively, we wish that the Bagarakan Sahur will be back later, okay?
Yes.
We wish for that. Okay, thank you very much, Mita, for sharing with us about the food, about the spots, and also the Bagarakan Sahur. And I wish you a very good Ramadan. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Steve.
Okay, listener, that is the Ramadan program with Mita, the presenter from RRI Samarinda. Maybe if you want to visit Samarinda, you can pay a visit to RRI Samarinda. Maybe look for Mita to bring you around and share you the best spots in Samarinda. And listener, this, you can listen to this again on voinews.id, the application RRI Digital, and also our YouTube channel, VOI Official.
Voice of Indonesia.
Aku tak sanggup ku harus. Listener going to culinary tour to Banyuwangi, East Java, you should come to Wit-Witan Market, the traditional market which becomes one of favorite places in Banyuwangi, is located at Alas Malang Village, Singojuru Sub-District, Banyuwangi. The market opens every Sunday morning, starting from 6 until 10 a.m. local time. Under the shady tree, you can enjoy various traditional culinaries of Banyuwangi, such as Geseng Bangsong. Geseng Bangsong is a typical food of Wijenan Kidul Hamlet, Singolatren Village, Singojuru Sub-District. Geseng Bangsong is a special menu and rarely found, which is made from duck meat as its main ingredient, and wadung yang leaf that adds a unique sour taste. Wadung tree is many found and growing wild at the village. Besides giving sour taste, wadung leaf is also used to remove fishy smell from duck meat. The duck must be the big one, so it is usually used male duck for cooking geseng bangso. Besides wudung yang leaf, this culinary is also cooked with other spices such as kaying, onion, and garlic. Geseng Bangsong has savory and spicy taste. Spicy taste mixed with sour taste certainly produce delicious food. In Banyuwangi, the food is usually served when Islamic events being conducted, such as the birth of Prophet Muhammad, Eid al-Fitr, and Eid Adha. But now, Geseng Bangsong can be found at Wit-Witan Market every Sunday. The price of the food is affordable, which is around 20,000 rupiah to 25,000 rupiah per portion. In addition to taste Geseng Bangsong, you can also enjoy other typical culinaries of Banyuwangi, such as rawon alas, sego cawu, as well as traditional snake, such as tiwul and gatot, which is made from cassava. Well, listener, that was our segment of Indonesian Wonder for today. I'm Purisa Pradela. Thank you for listening.
Voice of Indonesia.
www.voinews.id. You are still with me, Ahmad Faisal, on Indonesia Today. Well, you know, the government of Indonesia will carry out the downstreaming of the palm oil industry in 4 stages. What's that, Faisal? Yes, it is related to the national development planning of, you know, carrying out the downstreaming for palm oil. Yes, as it is also strategic commodity based on the national long-term development plan 2005 up to 2045, the downstreaming of palm oil will be carried out in at least 4 stages. It was stated by the National Development Planning Minister, Rahmat Pambudi. He also said that they are strengthening the industrialization ecosystem, increasing production capacity for domestic needs, strengthening industrial competitiveness toward global expansion, and achieving net export. According to Rahmat, palm oil downstreaming has good potential, considering Indonesia's position as the main producer of crude palm oil, or CPO, and the nation accounts for 68.7% of the total production. And then, priority government programs such as the mandatory B35 biofuel, as well as the free nutritious meals program, are also expected to increase the demand for processed palm oil. He further said that palm oil plantations can also support food self-sufficiency by adopting intercropping or agroforestry mechanisms, as well as the cattle and oil palm integration system. In this case, the system aims to support food production and also maintain environmental quality, as well as increase farmer incomes. And then palm oil has also the potential to support energy security and support the achievement of national energy mix targets, including through the development of biofuels.
Sejati, yeah. terbaik untukmu, kan ku jadikan kau kenangan yang terindah dalam hidupku. Namun takkan mudah bagiku meninggalkan jejak hidupku.
Ministry of Environment and Forestry, the average Indonesian produces around 0.7 kilograms of waste per day. Almost 10 million people live in Jakarta. That's a whole lot of waste. Bantar Gebang is 40 kilometers west of Jakarta. It's Indonesia's largest landfill. They process around 8,000 tons of rubbish every day. Around 18,000 families call it home. According to locals, some scavengers take 15 to 20 paracetamol at a time. Grueling days are spent picking through decaying food scraps and glistening coloured plastics. Most make less than $10 per day. On the 30th of January 2019, Reza Bonard spoke to a room full of professionals, diplomats and journalists on the 42nd floor of Jakarta's World Trade Center. The event was held by the professional women's group from the British Chamber of Commerce, Indonesia. At the front of the room, standing about 5 foot tall, she spoke clearly and confidently in English, her second language. It was strong enough to be well understood, but flawed enough to hold strong Indonesian character.
Okay, my name is Reza. I grew up in Bantar Gebang. People call me Princess of the Dam. I'm a princess. I don't have bracelets. I don't have a crown, so I'm just Reza from Bantar Gebang. The best dam ever. This is how we call our program, our project in Bantar Gebang.
Reza is from West Sumatra. Her family moved to Bantar Gebang when she was just a little girl. They watched it transform from rice paddies to wasteland. Reza's 18-year-old sister, Ian, told me the hardest part about being from Bantar Gebang is the way that people treat you. Reza told me why her parents decided to move to the area.
Oh, my home life, you can feel like the traffic is queuing for hours just to load the rubbish. Before, 24 years ago, it was the beautiful rice field. So in front of my home and beside my home. The reason why my parents bought this land, because my parents want me to experience to live nearby the rice field.
Reza Bonard was picked on in school. Her shoes smelt like cat poo. Despite hardship, she was able to receive a university education in Depok.
I was lucky. I got my foster parents from the UK, so I got scholarship to study in the university. Otherwise, I couldn't speak in front of you today because I don't know anything about English, how to say. Even my English is broken, but I'm very confident to speak in front of you.
Enjoyed a fruitful career in technology, and she's an activist. She's passionate about women, children and education in Indonesia. That's why she founded BGBG, an activity center across hostel. The name directly translates to Seeds of Bantagobang. She's giving back to her community.
If you're like, why you plan Bantagobang as the best dump ever? Because we say, like, if people call this place as like nasty, disgusting, stinky, me, the one who grew up at Bantagobang, this is the best place, the best dump. Because I can grow up here, I met my foster parents in Bantagobang because of my broken English, and then we have BGBG, the place to motivate the children to never scare, to dream high.
BGBG describes itself as a hostel and hub, or the kingdom of Bantagobang. Foreigners and Indonesians stay at the dump and volunteer. Carpenters build facilities and students teach English.
Send your waste to Bantagobang, your rubbish to Bantagobang. So come to Bantagobang and clean it.
Reza says all of the children from BGBG are like her brothers and sisters, but she also has one biological sister.
I told the children many times, if you have problem at school, no matter public or private, I will come to talk to the principal. Because happened to my sister Iin before, she has no birth certificate, elementary school. I went to the school, talked to principal. This girl lived with me. I'm the one who pay for her school, and she has no birth certificate, but she needs education, and I want her in the best school. And then the principal said to me, yeah, but we need birth certificate. I said, with or without birth certificate, she needs education.
Now, Reza's sister Iin studies international relations at the Institute of Social and Political Science in Jakarta. Every weekend, she travels by train and motorbike rideshare to Bantagobang. She helps teach English classes during the weekend. I asked her how she feels about coming from Bantagobang.
I'm happy for like when I'm grow up and then I like we have like sister Reza who tell us about like it doesn't matter where we're from. Mm. If we do work hard and then we believe that we can make it, because like in BGBG they always tell it's not about money, it's about like you treat other people yeah. nicer.
If you're interested in volunteering and visiting the dump, or to contribute something to the BGBG project, you can find out more at bgbg.org. But if you do go and visit, please don't hold your nose, because to Iin and Reza, it's the best dump in the world.
Listener, today's music corner presents a traditional song from Jambi province on Sumatra Island, Indonesia, entitled Ketimun Bungkuk or Hunchback Cucumber. The song was composed by Yahya Habe. The song tells the story of an unfortunate person. Misfortune is compared to a hunchback cucumber, a cucumber that is not included in the scales, counts, let alone dishes. The song Ketimun Bungkuk actually invites people to remain optimistic and hopeful. Tomorrow, the cock still crows, and after the night and the day will come. Well, listener, let's enjoy the traditional song from Jambi province entitled Ketimun Bungkuk by Nana Sabrina. Enjoy!
setiap hari jadi sandaran dan nyaman saat ku lemah, saat ku lelah. Oh, oh, oh. Tersadar ku tinggal sendiri.
Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Listener, do you know Hos Cokro Aminoto? Yes, Hos Cokro Aminoto or Haji Umar Said. Yes, Cokro Aminoto is an Indonesian father of national movement and the nation's teacher. He is also known as a figure in the struggle for independence. He was one of the founders and leaders of trade and labor associations that play a key role in the struggle during the early 20th century. But you know that he has also some wise words. But now I would like to share you one of his phenomenal wise words. He said, "If one shall be a great leader, they must write like a journalist and speak like an orator." So after listening and also knowing about one of his wise words, how do you feel? Well, I believe that listener, you know, listening or knowing about wise words is also important, and sometimes it can give us such positive impact or even give us motivation in order to easily and effectively run our activities. Believe this or not, but this can also have impact. That's why this is very important for us, for me, to share you our wise word. Well, listener, now especially for Muslim around the world who are holding or conducting your daily activities during the holy months of Ramadan, I hope that you are still happy, you are still having such much goodness, and even you are still, you know, you still have much enthusiasm in conducting your daily activities, especially during Ramadan, the holy months of Ramadan. Because this, when you try in the morning before subuh prayer, you eat like sahur and even more than many hours when you do fasting before you break your fasting. I mean, after few hours, you know, doing your fasting, I believe that you are also still easy in doing your activities. And I also believe that you do it enthusiastically with your friends, with your family maybe, and also with many of your colleagues. Now let's go to our news. Here's the news. The Ministry of Micro, Small and Medium Enterprises, or MSMEs, along with a number of universities, signed a Memorandum of Understanding to develop practice-based vocational education and industrial collaboration, as well as connect the academic world with micro, small and medium enterprises. Secretary of the Ministry of Micro, Small and Medium Enterprises, Arif Rahman Hakim, as quoted from an official statement on Wednesday, said that educational institutions must play a strategic role in building a young generation that is academically competent, entrepreneurial, and understand technology and digitalization, so that they can contribute to the development of micro, small, and medium enterprises, expand digitalization, and increase human resource capacity. Minister of National Development Planning, Head of the National Development Planning Agency, or BAPENAS, Rahmat Pambudi, stated that cooperation with development partner Asian Infrastructure Investment Bank, or AIIB, is crucial. This is done as part of sustainable investment to achieve national development targets as set out in the National Medium-Term Development Plan 2025 up to 2029. When receiving AIIB President Jin Lee Kuin to discuss AIIB's support for Indonesia's infrastructure development, as quoted from an official statement in Jakarta on Wednesday, Rahmat Pambudi conveyed that cooperation with development partners such as AIIB is crucial both in funding, capacity building, and transfer of expertise to support various infrastructure development programs. That's Newsline.